Your SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is loading now. Today's SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome, great to have you with us on this Monday, brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Here, safely ensconced at the Chateau, the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, located 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, key routes 11 and 15, Humble's Wharf. Great to see Tom and the gang last week. Hilsa's General Store hotline open at 1-800-795-9565. I'd love to hear from you. That's 800-795-9565. Powered by Hilsa's General Store, the 21st century version of the General Store. 7 miles south of Sealands Grove and routes 11 and 15. Excuse me. Check it out at www.hilsherstore.com. All right. So Nadal out. Told you about Bill's email to me, Bill Amin, my coworker at WPSU-TV, who also works for ESPN and the Tennis Channel. He does all four, works all four Grand Slam events. Basically, no grass prep. Went from clay, slow, to grass, fast, didn't adjust.
That's the first time he's ever exited a Grand Slam event in the first round.
Exactly. Now, he went in the second round last year, I think.
Yes.
So, Nadal, gone. At Wimbledon. We talk about the Phillies, but there's nothing to talk about except potential trades. If I'm the Detroit Tigers, I am speed dialing the Phillies now on a closer. It can make the difference in them winning or not winning it. If I'm the Red Sox, I'm calling about it. Ralph in Williamsport on the Hilsa's General Store Hotline. Hi, Ralph. Welcome to the show.
Oh, good afternoon. I'm just calling in to let you know about a 91-year-old gentleman that got a hole-in-one at the par 3 course there in Shamokin Dam last Thursday morning.
How many yards and what club?
I wasn't with him, so I don't know that.
That's amazing. 91 years of age getting a hole-in-one.
Correct.
Kevin did so because he avoided the windmill and it went through and fell down.
Yeah.
Still took me two shots, though. I had to use a foot wedge.
It was a mulligan.
Well, I'd like to give you his name if you'd like it.
Yeah, I'd love to hear the name because what's his name?
Wendell Rausch.
Wendell Rausch, 91 years young, a hole in one at Shamokin Dam in a par 3.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
That's
congratulations.
What I
Yeah, that's something else.
That's his third lifetime hole in one, but still at 91, I thought that was quite amazing.
There was a professional golfer years ago named Art Wall, who had, I believe, 61 holes in one in his career. 61? Are you kidding me? Well, that's three in his lifetime at the age of 91. What a thrill! I hope he took the ball in there. Somebody's framing it for him.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure that's it. There's a group of elderly gentlemen that play there on every Thursday morning, as long as the weather's good enough. And but he's the oldest one of the group. But yeah, we were just tickled to death to hear that.
I think that's one of the nicest stories I've heard today, without a doubt.
Okay. Good enough. Thank you.
Ralph, thank you very much. Hilsa's General Store hotline open at 1-800-795-9565. And now let's go to somebody who has been able to get a hole in one on 18 at every miniature golf course he's ever played at.
Well, on the first hole, maybe. But there was another neat little thing that happened on Father's Day. According to the National Hole in One Registry, the odds of two golfers making a hole in one on the same hole are 1 in 17 million. All right. Lonnie Whitener and his son, Zach, who's 13, each made a hole-in-one on Father's Day at a course near Houston, Texas, for about 115 yards out, on the same hole, playing at the same time. On Father's Day yet. And the PGA of America golf pro, Lance Lopez, is the one who actually witnessed it, so it actually did happen.
Erica and Lindy Bursars each had a hole in one in the same round. They're twins.
Oh, that's another good one. Yeah.
Happened back in 2010. There are also a set of twins, and it was in the Guinness Book of World Records that were, I think, 2,000 miles apart. And on the same day, same hole, same club, had a hole in one. Weird, huh? I mean, that's strange. Now, my reference to 18 is like they have to get the balls back. Everybody gets a hole in one. If you don't, that's sad commentary on you. And for you, I'm sure that you get plenty of holes in one when it comes to the month of August. It's your favorite month.
I haven't even been in the ballpark. Well, I don't think I've been inside the leather for a hole in one.
Closest I've been is 3 feet. That's the closest I've ever been. I was playing Mount Snow in Vermont. Hit a 7-iron over the lake. Put it 3 feet away.
Listen, it's an exciting moment when I'm on the green on a par 3. I mean, that's just
birdie,
enough for me.
Yeah, birdie went to the next hole. I've had 2 eagles.
I had an eagle.
Yeah. I've had 2 of them. One was I was playing a charity tournament. I drove it left side of the fairway. They used my drive. I stepped up, used a 9-iron, put it in the hole.
I actually drove the green with a little bit of wind at my back. It was 360, 370. I actually drove the green and had a long putt and 360'd it before it dropped. I had to make it interesting.
Yeah. Actually, I've had 3. I shouldn't say 2. I've had 3. Center Hill is the one going up the hill that you can see from West Branch Road, hit it into the trap, hit it out of the trap, put it in the hole.
Ironically, though, I made up for it on the next hole by taking a snowman.
Well done. And then the other eagle I had was at Harwich Golf Club on Cape Cod. Par 4 hole. I drove the green 10 feet away, sunk the putt. So I've had three eagles. Wow. So no holes in one, but 3 eagles. Eagles are, you know, people listening, oh, I got one, I got 8, I got 9, I got 10. You know, I'm sure they have. But it's fun. I played Friday. I don't think I've hit the ball better in 10 years. I have no idea why. I have no idea why. None. Well, I mean, our group shot, I mean, as a group, I think we shot, 66, 67? I think they used 30 to 35 of my shots. I had no idea why. None. Because I can tell you, I can walk out right now, and it would be, you know, being on safari. You know, it's just, there's no consistency. And for whatever reason, I hit the ball better than I have in 10 years on Friday. I, you know, everything off the tee was where I wanted it. approaching par threes. I was no further away than 10 feet in any par three I played. I don't get it. I can tell you, I can walk out today and feel like we're at the Catskill game farm. Because if I were to go out today, it'd be like, I don't know, I don't understand. I hit the ball so well on Friday. I don't understand why I'm in the woods all the time here. I did regale the group in your story about how you hit the railing over the bridge.
That's a great story. I mean, not many people can say that. A lot of people have interesting stories. Oh, I had this hole in one. You know, I had a miraculous shot that bounced off a tree. I hit the railing.
That's unique. Which, by the way, is very, very hard.
Right. That's unique.
Now, the part that was really bad, though, on your part, I mean, you're fine in every part of the story except for one.
Okay.
Okay. It's the part where you looked at the three of us and still have tried to convince the three of us that it was coming around.
It was starting to make its way around.
No. Stand on the tee. Anybody who's been to Susquehanna Valley Country Club, right? Stand on the tee at six, look to your left in the bridge, and say to yourself, there's no freaking way it's coming around, especially with trees over there as well.
I believe.
You have three people that are witnesses, and not one of them believes. No, not one is even close to seeing your point of view on it.
I believe.
So mentally, if you want to go through life and that's what your story is going to be, would you like a piece of advice?
Sure.
I would stop the story before that sentence.
I usually do.
But Jamie Hynoski from Wise, my man G from Wise, who were in my group, I regaled them in that story. They loved it. Of course, the fact they know who you are also gave it a little more oomph. Dave in Sunbury. Dave, welcome. It's great to have you on the Hilsers General Store Hotline.
How you doing, Steve?
I'm doing very well.
Well, you shooing people about the escapades of Kevin Herr and his golf shooting expertise, huh?
Well, taking Kevin out to the golf course is like taking a hunter out to the zoo.
Well, I call it about something else. Yeah, I heard about you saying about you're going to have Dave Taylor on.
Yep.
Did you already give the interview?
Nope.
Okay. Well, you can ask him a little bit about the coach with the laceration over his eye.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about.
Well, he did something to Kale, didn't he?
Not Dave Taylor. Ed Ruth. They were wrestling around. And he went in for Ruth and tried to take him down. And his eye socket met one of Ed Ruth's knees, point blank. It opened him up pretty good.
What a thrilling family story.
Yeah, well, I guess that's bragging rights now he has that nobody else can claim.
Right, I'm sure. But he's doing well with the national team. We want to have him on tomorrow. Yeah. We think it's a good time to have him on tomorrow.
Okay, you know, I just said,
yeah,
you know, just wish them all well.
Oh, well.
I know Ed's doing good too.
Ed
along
Ruth
with the
is,
125 pounder.
Yeah.
So.
Nico Megalutis.
Yeah. Just, you know, see what Dave says about that. I don't, you know.
Oh, I'll bring it up.
You can do that whichever way you want to do it. I just said, you know.
I'll bring it up.
Because it was in the blue-white, the last blue-white.
Mm-hmm.
And it explained how it happened.
Right.
So, well, I'll hang up and enjoy listening to you.
Most people, Dave, are not having dinner during this time anyway, so maybe it's a good time to do it.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks, Dave.
Dave. We'll come back with more. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com here at the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. Hilster's General Store is located 7 miles south of Sales Grove, Routes 11 and 15. The number 1-800-795-9565. My personal advisor has told me I need to say the number slower. So,
well done.
Maybe more often. But I've been told directly I need to say the number slower.
All right, I got a question for you. Why is it that a guy like Dominic Brown is sitting, maybe not even making the All-Star team, having the year that he's having? Second in outfielders and home runs.
Well, who says third, he's not making the All-Star team? Who says he's not making the All-Star team?
He may not be a starter, that's for sure. But
okay, that's okay. After that, you don't know.
After that, you don't know.
You don't know what they're going to do. I mean, boy, Bruce Bochy may pick him.
But this is why the All-Star balloting has to change.
Oh, I think the whole All-Star balloting's a sham and has been a sham for years. Okay? When seven Cincinnati Reds in the 50s were picked and they stopped it because they were stuffing ballots. Well, people go to the ballpark and they just stuff ballots. I'm going to vote for all the Phillies. I'm going to vote for all the Pirates. I'm going to vote for all the Texas Rangers. I'm going to vote for all the Red Sox. You know, if you consciously stuff the ballot in Houston, you know something's wrong.
But am I the only person that goes to a baseball game and actually sits and discusses and debates on who should go to the All-Star game?
There are other people like that, and then they pass somebody like me the ballot, and I go, no, I'm not voting. I don't waste my time. I am not going to waste my time being one of millions to just, you know, that feels like they're throwing garbage against the tide. We're going to waste my time.
I mean, it's a popularity contest.
Right. That's why they limit who votes for awards. You know, I'm on the list of people that vote for preseason, postseason Big Ten football, preseason, postseason Big Ten basketball, and the Wooden Award. Each one is really an exclusive club. And part of it is that they really depend on your fairness and research to make sure no one's left out. I mean, I made a mistake on the football ballot last year. I was kicking myself the second I submitted it. I forgot to put Micah Hyde of Iowa as one of my corners. And it was dumb. Yeah, you know, I wasn't happy about it, you know, because I know he's a really, really good player. Iowa had kind of a down year, and I put a couple of other guys in there instead. I thought, you know what, you should have had Hyde on there. Well, that's my fault. That's on me. But the fact that I get upset about it tells you that I take it seriously.
But as a fan, filling out this ballot, you have a responsibility.
Oh, this is mindless. Okay, it's mindless dribble. Filling out the All-Star ballot. Come on.
Let me give you an example. Justify Carlos Beltran having a million more votes than Gonzalez right now.
You can't.
No.
But St. Louis sells out every game.
If this is a game for the fans, don't you want the deserving players on the field? Or do you just want the most popular players on the field?
Well, it's a game for the fans. They're the ones voting. Now, the rest of the roster is filled out for the most part, not completely, by the people that deserve to be there. Now, some of the starters, by the way, deserve to be there. Let's not discount this and say, hey, look, you know, you have, I guess what you're voting for, what, eight starters on each side? It's at the Mets, so is it, trying to think, is, do they have the DH in this game? They should. I mean, if it's in the American League, it's a no-brainer, but the All-Star game should be one where the DH is always used. I mean, Major League Baseball, the only sport that has two sets of rules. I mean, I was actually listening to the Pirates announcers talking about going to the American League, you know, and how different it is. Yeah, it's better.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. Here in the beautiful Sunbury Motor Studio on a Monday where we're brought to you by our great friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Hilshire's General Store Hotline open at 800-795-9565. Powered by Hilshire's General Store. Doing all right there?
I'm great. I've decided, though, that after looking at the voting situation right now for the All-Star game, I'm going to boycott watching it. I know that won't affect anyone, but it's just my small way of protesting the way it's done in Major League Baseball.
Okay, well, fine. You do what you want.
Well, you got to take a stand for something sometimes.
Well, okay, good for you, sport.
Why do I feel a pat on the head and a ruffling of the hair? Good for you, sport.
I'm not going to boycott the All-Star game. The only reason I won't watch the All-Star game is if I happen to have a game that night. I don't even know if I do.
Yeah, but why watch it? If the players that don't deserve to be there are not going to be there, why watch it?
How do you know the players that deserve to be there aren't going to be there? How do you know that?
Well, I can guarantee right now by looking at the voting.
How do you know that?
I could tell you.
The voting is for starters.
Understand, there's going to be guys that don't belong there, especially at the starting position. That's my point.
There's going to be a whole bunch of guys that do belong there that get selected later.
Agreed. But you got to take a stand. Something's got to change in these All-Star games. I mean, nobody cares in the first place. But to sit there and have some guys listed as starters that don't belong there, that just ruins the whole idea of what the All-Star game is supposed to be in the first place. Am I wrong?
I'm just sitting here eating grapes. Look. I think All-Star voting, since the time they brought it back, was a sham. When I was younger, did I vote for the All-Star game? Sure. I go to Fenway Park and I do what you do, responsibly go through and pick the guys I thought would start. I probably did that three or four times. I then looked around and said, this is a sham. I'm not doing it.
I think that the popular vote has to have some influence, but not all of the influence in the starters. I'm okay with the fan picking players. Now, I mentioned this before. Years ago, I remember going to Philly, and at a Phillies game, having the PA announcer say, don't forget to pick your favorite Philly for the All-Star game. No! I pick the best players to be in the All-Star game. That's the way it's intended. I think it should have a percentage of impact, but not 100% deciding the starters of the game.
These grapes are good.
Are they the grapes of wrath?
No, but they're a good distraction from your rant. I don't even know if we're up to your rant yet.
That is my rant.
You may continue to rant. Go ahead.
No, I'm done. I just...
No, please. I'm enjoying grapes.
You're going to go with the grapes then? I just don't understand how Major League Baseball can sit there and say, this is an All-Star game, when the starters don't deserve to be starters. Not all the starters, let me rephrase that, don't deserve to be starters. And right now there are several of them that don't deserve to be starters. But it's just because of name recognition and popularity that they're there.
Everything about the All-Star game has changed. You look at 1968. Willie Mays, Hank Aaron, Pete Rose, Bob Gibson, Denny McLain, Carl Yastrzemski, Mantle. I think it was Mantle's next to last All-Star game. Mickey Mantle. Okay. And what would happen is that you, the fan, who only got one game a week, and maybe occasionally could get a game on your local TV channel here and there. It was a big, big deal, because now you got to see Mantle, Mays, Aaron, Rose, Gibson, McLain, Marichal. It was a big, big deal. Huge deal. Then in 1969, it changed a little bit. Suddenly you had the Seattle Pilots, the Kansas City Royals, the Montreal Expos, and the San Diego Padres. And for most fans, that's the first time you ever got to see any of the uniforms or hats. Well, now we see everything. I can tell you right now that if I'm the general manager or a manager of a team, I do not want any of my pitchers selected.
I didn't buy that till last year and the year before, but I get it now.
I don't want him selected. I have a season going on. Not some two-winning exhibition. Okay.
But is it time to get rid of these all-star games and all-star? Like the Pro Bowl, I never cared about the Pro Bowl because it was always at the end of the season. I don't think it would have mattered. You can't have it in the middle of the season, but I don't think it would have mattered. I still wouldn't have cared about it because you only have a few of the players that I really, really want to see. The Major League Baseball All-Star game, yeah, it's a nice break in the middle of the season. But if it went away, would I be upset? Would I miss it? No. Because of the reason you're talking about, because of the fact that I get a lot of these games now and I can see them or I can see highlights of them. I think it's just all-star games or Pro Bowls or any of that in pro sports have run their course. I think it's time for something else. What that is, I don't know, but it's time for something different.
It probably is. I think it's is it a nice break? Sure, but it's a meaningless exhibition. I don't want to hear about this, you get home field advantage in the World Series, blah, 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 blah. Okay?
But you can't make it that. That's the problem. You can't make that determine home field advantage because there may be one player on that game or in that game that it impacts.
Of course. It's a gimmick to get people involved. It's a gimmick to give the game more meaning. And believe me, I'm not going to criticize Bud Selig because he was trying. Okay, he was trying to make an effort because he knew that the ratings are falling. He knew the interest in the game is falling. So he wanted to do something to kind of ramp it up a little bit, especially after that tie in Milwaukee, which really damaged the image of the All-Star game. And so he wanted to change something. So it's an idea that I'm sure when they sat down to talk about it, had some merit to it, to put more juice into the All-Star game. But in the end, the fans know what it is. It's a meaningless exhibition.
What would you do to make this more interesting? 1-800-795-9565.
I don't think you can. And I would get rid of the Home Run Derby and the whole thing.
Yeah, Home Run Derby has gotten long and drawn out now. I mean long and drawn out.
I mean, it's long, it's drawn out.
Can we have somebody throw curveballs and mix it up a little bit and not have batting practice home run derby? Well, that might help.
No, people want to see the ball fly out.
I get that.
I mean, you're the guy that wants to sit in the turn and then watch them throttle down to 130. The rest of us in the crowd going, hey, come on, let's get the 220 and move. All right. I worry at times you're not really an American.
Well, what can you do to make this game more interesting?
Nothing.
What about free substitutions?
Nothing. No. Well, free substitutions I'm fine with. They should be able to do that and only should have been able to do that. You know, you have to have the DH in this game. You know, I mean, I do not want a pitcher hitting. I don't want a pitcher hitting in a regular season game. I don't want, like, Brian Morris the other day, okay, came up. He got his first major league hit. I think it was against the Angels, right? And they're making a big deal. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, for goodness sakes. No, it wasn't against the Angels. It was against the Reds, obviously, because the Angels, they had the DH. Tony Sanchez, another former Spike DH yesterday against the Angels. He was 1-for-3. And, you know, I mean, baseball has to sit down, and they have to start getting serious about their game. They have to get serious. And, again, this is a game I love. Okay, I love the game of baseball. People listen to me broadcast know that how much I love the game of baseball. But number one, you must unify the rules between the two leagues. There must be one set of rules. And in order to advance the game, that one set of rules has to be the DH. Everybody else has changed their game subtly over the years to get more offense into the game. Okay, and right now, by the way, pitching is winning again. Pitching is winning once again. But everybody has changed their game to get more offense. The NFL changed their rules so that the passing game, that 5-yard rule that they put in, changed the passing game forever. The blocking rules, where you can extend your hands out, changed the passing game forever. The rules are all designed for more offense. Hockey put the 2-line pass in. Used to be it was called an offside pass. You could not have a puck go over 2 lines. Now you're seeing 2-line pass, and they are coming in on, swooping in on goal. And it's a much better, more exciting game. Basketball looked at the ABA, and they said, look, the 3-point shot works for us. They also cleaned up hand checking as well because they didn't want games grinding down into tractor pulls. Baseball needs to have the DH unified in both leagues to start with. Number two, they must have a smart but limited instant replay rule, okay, that doesn't usurp the umpires and does not change the strike zone, right, where you can challenge whether a ball's fair or foul, where you can challenge whether it's a home run and whether you can challenge the play at first base, but limit it to only a couple challenges a game and do the same thing as the NFL does. If you get your 2 challenges as a manager correct, you can then get a 3rd challenge in the game. Okay, this will then delay all this, you know, running out, yelling, screaming, and everything that goes with it. If you elect to challenge it, go out. I'm challenging it. Stop. Take a quick look. I don't care if they have a centralized area in New York to do this, because the NHL centralizes everything in Toronto, or else have a 5th umpire up in the booth. No balls and strikes. Can't do that. But certain things that you can look to see. Home run, fair foul, okay, trapped.
Yeah, I was going to say, what about the call over the weekend on the dropped, quote-unquote, before the exchange?
Nope, can't do that one.
I don't think so either. And
can't do that one. I watched that play.
Yeah, I think that's a fine call by the second base umpire because it happened so close to the time it was in the glove.
Yeah, you can't. That one I would not allow. That one I would not allow. But, you know, but again, put the strategy of how to use it in the hands of the manager. 2 challenges per game each side. If you get both of your challenges correct, you can have a 3rd. Most nights they won't use the challenge. I'm telling you, most nights you won't even see a challenge come up. Or you might see one. There is no difference between the delay of game and the time Charlie Manuel comes out and puts his beak in somebody's face and starts yelling at them.
Although I do like seeing that. That's entertaining to me.
Nah, I think that's just, you just sit there. It bores me to tears.
Yeah, but Charlie, when he gets into it, gets going.
Yeah, but there's a limit to it. The first 15, 20 seconds are entertaining.
Right.
The next 1 minute and 40 seconds are just wasting my time. But it's wasting my time. Okay? It's wasting everybody's time. Because guess what? They aren't changing it. Okay? They're not changing the call. So once you get past the first 20 seconds and you've been thrown out the next minute in 40 seconds, you're wasting everybody's time. I mean, I love baseball. And the New York Penn League, for example, has the DH. Okay, tonight you have the Pirates and the Cardinals, two National League franchises going head-to-head here. Just like when the Cutters play the Spikes, there's two National League teams. They both use the DH. Pitchers aren't hitting at this level. They're just expected to pitch. In baseball, now they have 15 teams in each league. And believe me, I'm for expanding two more teams and getting to 32 and then cutting it right there. I'm all for cutting it at 32 and going with four team divisions in each league. Now, the wild card certainly has made things more exciting. Okay. And it's certainly filtered down. But that's what I'm for. But unifying the rules is huge. I mean, first of all, you've already years ago, people realized they uniformed the umpires. You used to have just American League umpires and National League umpires. American League umpires years ago had the big balloon chest protector or up, and the National League umpires were tucked behind the catcher. Completely different. Now, they've unified it. Everybody has the same style behind the plate. The balloon protectors are gone. And Harry Wendelstadt may work a National League game one day and be working an American League game the next. So if you're unifying all these other things that are very, very important to the game, unify the rules. And you have to unify the rules, in my opinion, on the side of offense, because you'll get great pitching duels. You'll get your 1-0 games. Each game takes on their own personality. But in the end, people will enjoy a 1-0 game and love a 1-0 game, but not a steady diet of 1-0 games. Look at the Stanley Cup Final. The other night, it ended up 3-1. The game before, that's the one everybody's talking about, the 6-5 game. People were wildly entertained by that. And by the way, Jonathan Toews and Patrice Bergeron do plan to play tonight. Both were hurt in Game 5. Bruins need to win tonight to force a Game 7 in Chicago. We'll wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sunbury Motors Kia has 10 days to sell 50 more new Kias. The only way this will happen is to, number one, lower all selling prices. Number two, increase all trade valuations. Number three, give you the lowest interest rate you deserve. Sunbury Motors Kia has 2013 Kia Souls starting at $14,824 with interest rates starting at 1.9%. Built in the USA, 2013 Optimas are discounted up to $5,000 with selling prices starting at $19,998 and 0% financing available for 60 months. Remember, every new Kia comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty and a 5-year, 60,000-mile basic warranty. Motor Trend's number one-rated full-size sedan, the 2014 Kia Cadenza, is in stock, ready to bathe you in luxury. Sunbury Motors Kia on the Golden Strip in Hummel's Wharf and at sunburymotors.com.
Not everyone qualifies for all rebates or low finance. Kia Sorento and Sorento Optima GDI models are assembled in the United States from U.S. and globally sourced parts.
Insuring your business is serious stuff. You don't need gimmicks or cutesy mascots or punchlines. You certainly don't want red tape. You just want the right coverage at the right price. We're as serious about insuring your business as you are about running it. Selective. Response is everything.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at prettyinsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
I mean, if you look at all the sports, you know, for example, the Heat and the Spurs are in different conferences, but they didn't. They don't change the rules when they go to San Antonio. The Bruins and Blackhawks are in different conferences. They don't change the rules when they play the final.
Do you know what finally, you and I had to, go ahead.
Football, the Super Bowl, did you notice in the Super Bowl, like Baltimore and San Francisco are from different conferences, and they played by the same rules?
I'm aware. You know, I long debated the DH in the National League, and you know what finally convinced me? You know how you finally convinced me that it should happen? You were mentioning the speed of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what it does? It eliminates that mid-inning change that happens more often in the National League, much more often in the National League, than in the American League because the pitcher's coming up to bat next inning.
What, you talk about the double switch? And
right, right. Yeah. And that draws out a game.
First of all, I love when people say to me, the National League, all this strategy, and what you do? I'm looking at my strategy. Look, a monkey can make a double switch. Cripe, we do that in Little League all the time. We do that in Babe Ruth ball all the time. I'm sorry. It takes like as much thought as it does to pick up a broom and sweep.
I do think there is a minimization of small ball in Major League Baseball now.
It doesn't matter. People are like, no, that's up to a point. It's all situational. You get to the eighth inning and you have a runner on first and you're in a tie ball game and I've got Jacoby Ellsbury at the plate. I am going to bunt him. Okay? If I've got Pedroia who got a base hit in a 3-3 game and he leads off, I'm not playing for the big inning. I got Jacoby Ellsbury laying down a bunt and I've got David Ortiz hitting next.
When was the last time you saw a suicide squeeze?
Was the last time I saw it? I've seen it several times this season. A lot of it depends on who the hitter is.
Absolutely right. I don't want to see Ryan Howard lay down a bunt.
Of course not.
But I'm okay if Jimmy Rollins lays down a bunt.
Well, right. It's okay if Ben Revere does.
Absolutely.
Everything's a situational thing depending on who it is. You see bunts laid down because A.J. Burnett's at the plate. Oh, Jan, I guess the thought is let's get people to get to the concession stands.
Well, the third baseman cheats up as soon as the eighth place, the eighth hole is done.
I told you when I went to the Pirates-Red Sox game 2 years ago, and because there's no DH, there's no David Ortiz in the lineup, okay, I went to the concession stand, right? And all of a sudden, now pinch hitting number 34, David Ortiz. Every single person left the concession stand. All of them. The entire concourse was bare because it was the one time in the game all eyes were focused on the game. Why? Because one of the genuine superstars of the game that they don't ever get to see was hitting. And the guy hit it into the river on a foul ball. Then he eventually got on base and scored the winning run. Okay? That's why you do it. You want to see the best players. I want to see David Ortiz hit. Roy Halladay can watch it.